Hello and welcome to the podcast that discusses all things gaming. Coming to you from the home of Indie PopCon, Gen Con, and the gaming capital of the world, this is The Established Facts. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 116 of The Established Facts. We are here doing a... I don't know why I just went Kermit on it. We are here. Hello, everybody. Or Bullwinkle, I guess, maybe. Yes. Wow.
Welcome in. Okay. Kermit in a dark alley.
So we're doing our Myers-Briggs wrap-up. We're going to talk about some different ways to use your Myers-Briggs personality to the best of your ability as a gamer. But before we do that, let's go ahead and go around the table and do our introductions, starting to my right.
This is Josh.
This is Dr. Deb.
This is Carrie Wu.
And, of course, this is your host, Big Don. So we have had a lot of fun kind of breaking down the different... what are Kiersey temperaments or groupings of different Myers-Briggs personalities together as they usually categorize them by function, essentially, or what those personalities cater to a little bit. So there are 16 of them. If you do not know what your MBTI is yet, then you obviously have not been listening to the show, as you should have been.
Stop it at this point. Rewind.
That's right.
And play the tape from the beginning.
Don't worry. We'll wait.
Right. So now that we've waited, you should know what you are by now. You can get on 16 personalities. You can get on human metrics. I like 16 personalities a little bit more than human metrics, mostly just because... they have a really good way of making... first of all, they give you a lot of really great detail about your personality, and then they make it so that you can understand it. Whereas human metrics, they make it a little bit more technical, and I find it... you know, though I am an academic, I find it a little bit nicer to be able to read it in layman's terms and not have to try and decipher what they're telling me about who I am. I definitely recommend getting online and finding some of those and really having a good time with it. Just see where your personality is, see how true the MBTI Myers-Briggs personality tests can be for you as an individual. And then, in my opinion, take advantage of it to full use.
Yes, in areas other than gaming, but... gaming, it does come in handy as well, as we're going to talk about today.
You know, this series has almost made it, like, if you wanted to sit and listen to it, it's like, how can you utilize the Myers-Briggs type indicator to save your marriage?
Or save your job, if you're wondering right. Why you're having trouble with your job. Maybe this is why.
Save your gaming group.
Yes, yeah, actually, that's true. Well, if you're having divisive discussion, I have no idea when any gaming group would be decisive. Divisive.
Right.
Decisive? Divisive, indecisive. But it might happen.
What I think I've really enjoyed about kind of doing this series is really, for myself, breaking down each one of the temperaments, the Kiersey temperaments, and really kind of discussing what makes each personality type kind of tick. Mm-hmm. And even within a grouping, what makes each grouping tick compared to the other ones and things like that. So, and I totally agree. I think, you know, I know for myself, my wife is an ISFP and I am an ENFP, and they're earlier in our marriage, there were times when we just weren't communicating very well because we didn't really know how each other one communicated. And what we found out through MBTI is my wife communicates and I don't. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what you learn.
So. Oh, there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah.
But it, as we know, communication is key, especially if you're going to be gaming. If you're in a role play situation, you have to be able to communicate. If you're playing a board game, you've got to be able to communicate, especially if it's a co-op game. And learning that, learning why some people are perhaps driving you nuts or why you work really well with someone, that can come in really handy. And so rather than getting mad, all of a sudden go, oh, wait, he's an intuitive. He's doing all this processing inside his own head. He is thinking. He's just not verbalizing it. Can you understand? This is a conversation I've had myself in my head many times because my husband is an intuitive and I am a sensor. So I process it by putting it out loud and letting everyone hear it and comment, and or, you know, my husband does not. He's an intuitive. He will usually get lost in his own mind and then he'll come out after he's already done all the thinking. Hey, here it is. And I have no idea how we got there. So now, rather than getting mad as often as I did, I try, I'm not always great at it, I try to say, okay, what was your process? How did you get there? So if this is happening in your gaming group, we advise calling up our Myers-Briggs help hotline, which is 1-888-CALL-US. And we will try to give you suggestions. No, it's not a real number.
I'm going to put a disclaimer on that if that number exists, I'm so sorry.
Well, it's only got six letters in it, so I don't know how it would exist, but...
same. Somebody could spell, accidentally put an extra S on there, and there'd be something there. Call us.
Call us.
It's never good to put S's in your vocal recordings, by the way. Just...
No. Please stop. No. But some of our suggestions, we hope that we're going to be making, might help. At the very least, maybe it will shed some light on things that work well, things that don't work well. Yeah. So,
before we kind of break down what personalities work so well in certain types of gaming situations, let's break down very quickly the 16 different types. So... Yeah, right. Well, wow. I'll do it fairly quickly if I hopefully can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pull up just a cheat sheet so that I can make sure I don't miss anything. So you have, of course, extroversion and introversion. Mm-hmm. You have sensing and you have intuition. Mm-hmm. You have feeling and thinking. Mm-hmm. And then you have judging and perceiving. Mm-hmm. And the MBTI combines those four different factors to give you your personalized personality. So the 16 different personalities are ISTJ, ISFJ, INFJ, INTJ, INTP, INFP, ISFP, ISTP, ESTP, ESFP, ENFP, ENTP, ENTJ, ENFJ, ESFJ and ESTJ.
ESPN NAACP.
That's right. OCD.
At the NCAA basketball tournament.
And the CDC.
And the FAA. Oh, my goodness gracious. So,
TMJ? BMP? What?
That's right. So if you understood at all what I was talking about, then you've obviously taken the test already.
Uh-huh.
Which is good. So one of the things that I love to do, especially now that I have my own... indicator on what my personality type is to find these little fun things on, like, say, Google.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google in, like, MBTI personality.
Pinterest it.
Television characters or things like that.
Pinterest.
Pinterest has got a bunch. Mm-hmm. So I just want to look at one that I think would be fun. We're all Harry Potter fans here.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a Harry Potter MBTI indicator, and it has the different characters on it.
Some of these are really bad.
And, I want a better one.
I'm curious, because I know what I've tested before, what it says I am, and I'm curious if this one is the same. Because it amuses me if it is.
So I'm just going to go down the TJ and TP row first.
Mm-hmm.
You have... the Examiner, ISTJ, Severus Snape.
Snape is normally what I come up as.
Yeah.
But I can see that.
Yeah.
The duty fulfiller.
Yeah.
That end, you would complete what is you feel is your duty. I can see that.
The ISTP, which is Introverted Sensing Thinking Perceiver, the Craftsman, is Harry Potter.
Hmm.
Which I can kind of see that.
I love the processing.
I can kind of see that.
Yeah, but I think he's a feeler.
You think so?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I think Hermione is definitely a thinker. Yeah. Ron's a feeler.
He's got to be an FP.
Right. Got to be an FP. I think all the Weasleys are all FPs. That's a family of FPs.
They've got... Is this Jenny? Yeah, I think so. It's a little blurry on my screen here, but it says Jenny Weasley is an ESTP, the promoter.
Maybe.
The supervisor is...
Like I said, some of these are really bad.
No, they are.
Where they're just like, oh, we need somebody for every type. Yeah. We're just going to put somebody here and here. And I'm like, oh. It doesn't work that way.
Right. Gosh, Donald, fact check your pictures from Google.
Hey, I just said I enjoy them.
I'm the highest judger at this table.
That's true.
I'm a P, dude. I'm like, whatever. They all look good to me.
And then I say, he's the only P at the table. Right. So he's like, wee!
They've got McGonagall as an ESTJ, the supervisor. I could definitely see that.
I could see that.
I can see that. The provider.
Yeah. She'd be the extroverted version of me, yes.
Yeah. The ESFJ as Lily Potter.
Oh, you were Lily. That's beautiful.
He's
an N.
Honey, I'm an N.
I know. But it could have been you, because you're Giver. I saw the provider, and I thought of the Giver as one of your nicknames. But,
true.
Okay. But ESFJ. Okay.
That's right. The performers, ESFP. The Weasley twins.
Oh, yes. Both FPs. Yeah, most definitely.
All right. They've got Hagrid as an ISFP.
I can see that.
I can see it based on, okay, A, he lives in a little house out in, he lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Yes, he does.
He lives in a house out by himself.
Mm-hmm.
He always has a problem with saying things that he didn't necessarily mean to say.
Correct. He lets it slip and then, I shouldn't have said that.
Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that.
He's definitely a feeler.
He's definitely a feeler.
Oh,
and
definitely.
He's definitely a perceiver. Because even when he meets people that someone who would be, who might look upon somebody as, oh, well, that's definitely a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't necessarily look at it that way. He kind of looks at it like, okay, well, they did that bad thing, but that doesn't necessarily make them a bad guy all the time.
Right. He defends Snape to him. He, a lot of that. S, because he's talking out loud. Like, he'll say, seems like he processes a lot of what he does out loud.
Yeah. Which is why he gets in trouble, because he accidentally says stuff that he's not supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, crud.
And if he was, and I don't think he's an extroverted, because if he was extroverted, he'd be the Weasley twins, and he's definitely not that.
Yeah.
But if he was extroverted, I could see him being kind of a show-off, like with his talent with animals and all of that stuff, being like, hey, check this out. I made this thing grow 17,000 feet into the air, and it's going to smother Hogwarts, and
So they've got the Defender, which in my opinion, I totally agree with, as Neville Longbottom. ISFJ.
Neville and I are buds.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah. Trying to do the right thing, but he's still he's a feeler, but he wants an end point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The counselor, INFJ, they've got as Remus Lupin.
I could see that.
He's definitely an I, mostly probably because of his affliction.
Correct. Intuitive. He doesn't say a whole lot. A lot of the processing, it seems like, happens underneath.
He's a feeler, and I would say he's probably a judger because he looks at people differently than
Hagrid.
Hagrid did, right? Yeah. He looks at people like, no, that guy's a bad guy, and
you're doing right.
Right,
there is that.
Even like the relationship between he and Snape, like when Snape, is discovered as a, and of course I have not read the books, so I apologize.
Mm-hmm.
When Snape is looked upon as a Death Eater, in his eyes, he's always that way.
Mm-hmm.
He can never be trusted.
Yeah, that's very Jay.
So
for good or ill, that's very Jay.
Yeah. An INFP, the Dreamer. Luna Lovegood. For sure.
Oh, definitely.
The Champion.
Her dad would be even worse.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Woo. He gets so lost in his own thoughts.
That's an INFP, like wandering.
The Champion.
Mm-hmm.
The ENFP, Ron Weasley.
You're Ron Weasley? Actually, I think
that's me.
You're a P.
ENFP.
I'd missed the P at the end. I heard the ENF, and I'm sorry. You're Ron Weasley? Yeah. Yeah. And then your brothers are performers. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I'll give you that.
The teacher, the ENFJ.
You know, your husband.
The one who hates to teach. Got it. Yeah, that one.
Albus Dumbledore.
You're Albus.
I'm looking at similar chart. Actually, I think it is the same chart. The colored, like, graphics one. They look like they're comics or whatever. And they've got ENFJ and ISTJ right next to each other. So you see Dumbledore and Snape, one right after the other. I'm just like, giggle.
That's hilarious, because apparently Dumbledore married Snape in this house. Whoa. Okay.
Most trusted friend.
Yep.
It's true.
The Maverick. James Potter, the ENTJ.
Yeah. I don't know enough. I mean,
I don't sound too enthusiastic about it.
Well, ENTJs are... They don't always get along well with ISTJs, which makes sense why the Snape and he would have so many problems.
Yeah.
ENTJs can be bullies, too.
They can. They take that role very easily. It does.
James was a bully when he was younger.
When he was younger, that's true. And Snape wouldn't take it. And yeah, ISTJs would not ever lean that direction.
Yeah. The Inventor, the ENTP, as Sirius Black. Witty, clever, interesting socializer. I can see that. I can see that as him. What was Lupin?
They said Lupin INFJ, was an INF.
ENTP.
INFJ. What did they say Hermione was? I've seen Hermione as so many different things.
An INTP.
That's the next one,
the architect.
I think she's a J.
She likes conclusions.
She wants conclusions
to be solved.
Maybe she's an INTJ.
Plans and schedules.
Do you think she would be my brother, an INTJ?
However,
she doesn't really see the big picture, though.
Hang on.
True.
I don't necessarily agree because she carries a bag that has what?
Everything
you're ever going to need for anything ever.
Everything.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah, she is Mary Poppins.
She is a muggle-born.
Correct.
She is a muggle-born witch, which would, in my opinion, kind of sway you more towards having an open mindset because...
She's had to live in a muggle world, but she's a witch herself.
So. She
likes schedules too much.
Well,
yeah.
To be a P.
She had her schedule memorized on the first day of the second year of Hogwarts.
Yeah, but...
I know this because I just read it.
Yeah.
She might not be a strong J as, for example, Carrie is, but I think she's got some J there. And she's definitely a T. And I think she's an I.
So you think she's an INTJ?
I think she's an INTJ, but, well...
The Mastermind.
Okay. The Mastermind. Yep.
The Strategist.
I know who they're going to pick. Yeah. Go ahead. Say it.
Draco Malfoy.
Malfoy. That I can see.
He always had a plan.
He's such a wimp, though.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a strong INTJ.
A strategist has somebody do the work for them.
Yeah, that's why he had Crabbe and Goyle.
I'm sorry, but Malfoy, maybe Lucius Malfoy. I would see that.
Well, but Draco and Lucius are pretty much mirrors of each other.
No, he's such a wimp.
He is.
Well, then what do you think? Then would he be an INTP?
He can be a.
I mean, how do you call wimp? Is not a
failure of an. Yeah. Of an
a wimp is not an MTBI class.
I'm sorry, I know too many INTJs that are not wimps at all.
No, agreed. So then, what would he be?
He's very much led by his parents. He's very much led by what other people think of him. You know that kind of stuff.
Well, is he an F?
Well, let's look at a comparison
INFP,
of real people.
But he's
doesn't get
lost in his own head.
Apparently, this discussion topic is Harry Potter.
Harry Potter with the MTBI.
That's fine. MBTI pod.
It is applying the MBTI to something that we know.
Right.
It's true.
And Don only knows these characters from the movies, and I know these characters from the books.
That's true.
It's true.
So,
all right, well, let's start from the beginning then with Draco, since we obviously have a pretty firm disagreement here. Do we think that he's an introvert, or is he an extrovert? See, that's already the beginning point, because he draws people to him. He at least drew Crabbe and Goyle to him. Do we think that he's actually an extrovert?
Well, he drew Crabbe and Goyle. He drew Crabbe and Goyle to him because Crabbe and Goyle and Draco Malfoy are all Death Eaters.
Death Eaters.
They're all Death Eaters together. Okay. Yeah. So that's not really... Okay. So it's something that was already happening. See, the problem with E and I is it's where do they get their energy from? And I don't know if in the book you really see that.
And the only reason why he ever extended his hand...
He thinks without speaking, though. That's an extrovert thing.
and just blurts out stuff. Right. And that's kind of what I thought. And it doesn't seem like he's afraid of getting into people. He got into Potter's face all the time. He got into Weasley's face. I mean, he's calling, I mean, he, I mean, heck, he called Hermione a
mudblood.
Mudblood. I mean, that's a, whoa, really?
That's also his parents.
Well, it's true, but the fact that he was willing to verbalize that when he knew that wouldn't be an acceptable thing to say at Hogwarts, right. He knew that, and he did it anyway.
In the face later.
Right, well, also true, but, you know, so maybe could he be more of an extrovert?
Yeah, I'd see him as an extrovert.
Okay, so then S versus N. I think he's an N. I think he's processing all this stuff in his own head, all of his weird twisted plan.
He's constantly scheming.
Correct.
Yeah. Constantly.
And I see that as being an N trait. No offense, N. So I see that being an N trait. You mm-hmm. get the whole plan, you know, or whatever you're going to do in your head. So I think he's definitely. An E and an N. Okay. Thinker, feeler. This is a harder one. He is plotting.
He's a thinker.
He's a plot. Okay. All right.
He doesn't. He has.
He doesn't always do like the logical, rational thing.
That's the thing. A thinker will. Feelers.
But
will
he has absolutely no emotional attachment. Even, okay, in the last movie, he leaves guys behind as the room of requirement is exploding.
Mm-hmm.
A person who has an emotional attachment to something, and even to the point where he's willing to separate himself from his emotions in order to kill Dumbledore just to get his family back in good graces. He doesn't do it.
Mm-hmm. Right, because Snape does it instead.
Chicken.
He is, and Snape did it instead for him.
Right.
But that whole story,
in my opinion, even the loyalty of Crabbe and Goyle really just comes from their
history. Help me accomplish what I want.
Yes.
That is a thinker. That's a cold-hearted, I mean, that's one of the thinker's abilities is, will I get what I want with this?
Even and there isn't really an emotional tie there. Even after he's been several times by Harry, he's constantly in his face.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a thinker. Usually, I mean, as a thinker, I can understand that ability to cut off and go, you're not helpful to me anymore. Like, if I go to a really hard, mean place, yeah, you're not useful to me anymore. So I can see that being a thinker thing. Now, it's true, he doesn't always follow logic, but is the loyalty to his family winning out in those cases? The fact that his dad can, you know, lay a whooping on him because his dad's a much stronger wizard, therefore it's in my best interest to do what my dad wants. Again, that's a thinker kind of process.
Yeah, it's also hard too because some of these letters aren't developed at this point in their lives because they're all going through adolescence.
Correct.
When we're getting to know them.
Correct.
And that's when you develop the either
11, 12, 13, 14. Isn't that when you
Sensing or intuition and the feeling versus thinking?
Right.
So a lot of the stuff that they're dealing with could
be changing and developing.
Yeah. So it's a little harder.
Oh, puberty. How annoying,
a J versus P with that J wanting patterns, the J wanting endpoints, the J wanting...
I kind of think he's a J because he thinks, you know, he's very much for the Death Eater.
Segregation.
Segregation.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's very firm and they believe that's...
the only thing that's, you know, should be...
That should be allowed. Correct.
Practice magic and that kind of stuff. That's why it's very... Isn't he the Marshal?
Isn't that the Marshal or
the DD one?
Yeah,
you're talking about. Okay.
Well, I'm also looking on the 16 personalities. That's a.
I don't have all of the like type names.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. An ENTJ is known as the Commander, which is possible when you think kind of the way he bold, imaginative, strong-willed leaders, always finding a way or making one, which. I can see that being more him. But anyway.
Sure.
So, and feel free to argue with us, you other Harry Potter passionate people. But remember, if you didn't read the books, you may have no ammo whatsoever with Carrie Wu.
Yep.
So, you better have some ammo. Or if you're J.K. Rowling, then you've got plenty of ammo. Go for it. So,
I would love to have a conversation with her about what she thinks
her characters' personalities actually are.
I would love
that. Oh my gosh. Hashtag epic.
I
have a Doctor Who one.
Ooh, really? Yeah. Did it put all the doctors in different categories?
It does.
I remember us doing that, and we looked over each of them. It wasn't too bad. Yeah.
That one was pretty good. I thought that one was okay.
Like, actually talk about, you know, games.
No.
And how the personality types would...
Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching a battle of J versus P on our show today. Let's see how this ends up.
So,
the J goes back for the stroke.
Sorry.
The P bumps something behind and throws off. No,
he knocks it out of the park. Okay. Somebody needs to remind him this is golf, not baseball.
All right, so
yeah, the snort.
If we're going to play in a game,
I always snort on these podcasts.
Oh yeah, it means you find it funny. That means it's good. It means it's funny.
It's true funny.
All right, so and this is interesting because we have two of the temperaments here. We actually don't have all four of the temperaments. We have the NFs, which would be my husband and Big Don, and we have the Guardians, which are the SJs, which is Carrie and myself. So I'm sure we look at games very differently.
Yes.
So
I know we do.
Okay.
The funny thing is I have to set up this picture for you. So the other night I was here and Deb was here, and which is not, it doesn't always happen.
No, that's unusual.
And I was down in the kitchen and I see Deb. She's over there and she's clicking away on her computer. And then all of a sudden I see her on her phone and I hear The Sims and I'm like, are you playing The Sims on your phone? Because I'm like, I want to get in on this if we can play The Sims on our phone now. Come on, let's do this.
Let's do this.
But she's like, nope, I'm playing Heyday. And I'm like, are you playing two games at once? She's like, yeah. I was like, that's how introverts do it.
That's how we game it. we multiple single games at the same time.
At the same time.
Mm-hmm. And I can control it all because I can put them on pause and get back to, okay, put my cotton, put my soybeans. All right, we'll get you back again. Have you taken your shower and eaten your dinner? Okay, go back over here. All right, have you taken care of the horse? Okay. And that's how it was going. Such an S thing. Such an IS thing.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, it's
Don and Josh are just shaking their heads.
Multitasking.
Well, okay, so even with all the MBTI thing, the conversation very much leans towards most men don't multitask well. Mm-hmm. Most women are, you know, already perfectionists at it out of the womb.
Breathing and crying. Yeah, I can do that.
Oh my heavens.
Stop. Just breathe. Breathe. No, you're crying. Wait, breathe. What? What? Right.
It's like Maggie the other day when she was trying like one of the smoothies that I was making. She was just like, she doesn't like the blender. She's scared of it. Terrified. So she was just like, I let her try a little bit of it and she goes, yummy.
I'm multitasking. I'm in weepy tears, but it's yummy. I'm going to multitask this. That's my daughter.
But then you stop and, okay, so you got your two temperaments, as you said. It's the, what was yours again? Guardians?
We're the Guardians, and you guys are inspirers. I've also heard diplomats. I've heard you guys.
In most cases, Donald and I, though we do like some competitive games, we're looking for games that can include as many people as possible.
Yep.
So just, I'm looking for like a role-playing game that doesn't have as many people as possible.
Yes. totally understandable. I'm actually becoming that, like, six is almost too much for a role-playing game, so I get that. Board games, on the other hand, I mean, I'll buy up, you know, the Red Dragon Inn that's got 32 different characters or whatever in it, so that
zombie side,
werewolf circles that have 64 people
at table. Right.
I will admit, I want to play in one that big. I think that would be awesome.
It was awesome.
It was, but good lord, there was a whole lot of there's a lot going on.
I feel like you'd need to do a lot of shotgunning.
There was at the beginning. Like, that's exactly what it is.
I was like, okay, Carrie's going to be an extrovert for 4 days.
For 4 days.
Crash.
Yeah.
Go home for a week.
Recover from this.
Where's Carrie? I haven't seen her since last Sunday.
Okay.
No one has.
No one has. Exactly. She's in the hole underneath the house.
She's been... That's right. She pre-made all of Tim's dinner. She's sleeping on the couch.
Exactly. She's watching Gilmore Girls and Harry Potter, and I think she's slowly recovering.
At the same time, people. It's crazy.
That's right, yes.
One on my computer, one on my phone.
The one on your phone. Wee!
Sad thing is that I've watched Gilmore Girls and a YouTube video at the same time.
See, there you go.
That's not watching Gilmore Girls.
No. I can't even hardly play a game and watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, because I've done the multitasking video thing. I have. I will admit to that. But here's the thing is that your focus will go to one. It may be there, so you feel better that it's there. But your focus will be on one.
That's your focus.
That's yours, yeah.
That's your focus. My focus. That's my focus, too.
Yes.
Your focus is not on both. You especially. You don't focus on both of them at the same time.
Am I trying? At the moment, you're saying, well, the example you're giving, I probably wasn't trying. So I think you're right. No, if I actually have to focus at the same time, because I have to at work. Like, meaning I have to do several things at the same time.
Really? You have to write out your chart and watch a YouTube video at the same time?
Sometimes, yes. Now, more accurately, it's not really a YouTube video. It's that I'm researching the nurse practitioner who's next to me has got something weird going on. So I've got that come up on FP Notebook and up to date in that. And then I'm also charting on the patient that I'm seeing at the same time. And I'm putting in orders for the strep swab and the flu swab for them. And then my PA came in had a question.
This is the same thing. We always get crap from these guys.
Mm, yeah.
When we're crocheting or
knitting
or doing something
or
painting. While we're role playing. And they're like, you're not paying attention. And I'm like, yeah. I just like verbatim will say back to you. And
you mean this,
like,
whole thing that you just did? Yeah. Okay.
That was prior to more information. We've gotten to that point.
That we could multitask.
No, that's still my opinion. But I'll tell you why. And it doesn't have anything to do with a disrespect on anybody's personality. It's that because I am an intuitive thinker, if I see you doing something else, being an intuitive thinker, I empathize, as in they're not thinking about what's going on in the game. They're thinking about what they're doing, because I could not do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So no. it doesn't have anything to do with me not believing that you're paying attention. It's that since I can't do that, I'm just,
it's hard to imagine someone else can.
It's the same conversation that I have with Bonnie when she's like, I just don't understand how you can't go more than a day without seeing people outside of this house. And I'm like, I can't go more than 10 hours without seeing other people outside of this house.
Right.
I just have to rein it in for you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's hard when you have, you know, Debbie, you and I are complete opposite in our personality type.
Yep.
So it's hard sometimes for us to understand
the driving force.
Right. Like, what's the purpose? What's the point? Why did you do it that way? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to do it that way every time? Is this just a one-time thing?
Right.
Like, all of these different factors go in. I only use us because we're literally opposites.
Right.
It's the same all around.
Okay.
You know, even Josh and I, who are only one degree away from each other, being a P and being a J, completely different results when it comes to our thinking and how we look at stuff.
True. And that can be a good thing and a bad thing when it comes to a gaming group or a role play party. I can see it as if you could have a group. I can imagine it being a interesting thing, but also a disaster if you had a group with all the same Kiersey temperament. I mean, it could be interesting, but it would also be really holding, just sticking you into a hole, and you wouldn't be able to get out of it, because I can see, especially with the Guardians, we're going to be about what we're supposed to do. We aren't going to wander off to anything very new or interesting. It's going to be, this is what we're supposed to do. So this is what we do, right?
Yep.
And that's where we're going to stay. The problem with the ISFPs will be performing the whole
time. Outside the box very well.
No, we don't. Yeah. We don't. We get done what needs to get done. We usually get it done well. But that's, you know, an ISFPs, your SPs are probably going to wander off and be performing the whole time. They'll never get anything accomplished because they're too busy one-upping each other on jokes or whatever.
In your opinion, what do you feel like would be the best personality type to run a game with multiple personalities at the game? Keeping everything in balance. You want a game that's going to be productive, that's going to be fun for everyone, at least 75% fun for everyone, because obviously what's fun for me is not necessarily going to be what's fun for you. But keeping everyone in balance as to, okay, well, this person likes this style of game, this person likes that style of game, this person likes this direction in the game, things like that. What do you feel like in the multifaceted dynamic that is a role play game table would fit probably the best GM position?
Okay, I actually have
I have what I think. No,
I do.
Do we all have a thought? I don't know if Carrie's still trying to figure that out.
Me to think outside the box, and I'm going,
this is not me volunteering, but I believe the ENFJ, and I'll explain why. Obviously, you've got your extrovert who prefers to be around a lot of people. When you're doing a role-playing game, there's a lot of people. You got to deal with a lot of people. The F side of that, being an EF, you care about how the other people are enjoying the game, what parts they're enjoying, how they're involved. The intuitive part, which I actually think is important being a game master, is you've got to be able to make decisions in your head and pretty quickly without having to talk too much of it out, because if you talk it all out, you'll give away things. As a game master, it's kind of important that you need to keep some of that secrecy, or otherwise you're kind of just, you're bleh, everything's going out and there's no surprise to it. And then finally, the J will keep them on a path. Keep them going in one direction. Which sometimes can be hard. Or if they do go off in another direction, can at least get them guided towards a goal as opposed to... but that can also be a fault because oftentimes a J will just, we're going this way. Well, I want to go look at this. We're going this way.
It can railroad, yeah.
But that's why I say that.
I was close. I actually thought ESFJ. E for the reason you gave. To be able to work with a number of people, especially if you're going to be a big party, you need to be able to draw energy from people and not be drained by your gaming group every single time, which an I would be. Even if they don't mean to be, they can be. The S, because the S allows you to... The problem with an N, if there's a problem, forgive me, gentlemen, I don't mean for it to sound like that, is that as a player who's an S and you're an N, you will say certain things and it's not enough detail for what I need. I can't imagine exactly what it is you're talking about. You probably got it exactly the way, you know, in your head, you probably got a gorgeous picture. Because you don't communicate that usually, verbally as well, I'm kind of lost, like, okay, what exactly does this look like? Like, where? How's this town set up? I'm trying to visualize a picture in my head, and it's not always easy for an N to give that to me. An S game master could, as long as they learn enough self-control to not blurt out the detail of, by the way, the guy in the corner, yeah, he's the key to the whole thing. Don't give that away. I agree with the F, because you have to be able to work with personalities and people. T's won't care. They'll just be like, just do the thing.
I think Derek does a great job being mm-hmm. a T.
Yeah.
Working
yeah.
with people.
He actually yeah. does for a T. Yeah. He's better than I would be. And the J, because you do need to have some sort of conclusion, some sort of... we got to close up at the end of 4 hours or whatever. You know, we need to close up at the end of 15 sessions, whatever. You got to have some sort of closure. And it's harder sometimes for P's to deal with that closure than J's. So I vote for an ESFJ, but...
Just so you know, we still love playing with you as the game master.
No, absolutely.
I'm not taking any of this personally.
Derek's an INTJ, so...
I look forward to Curse of Strahd.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What do you need, Carrie?
Oh, my gosh.
Now that we're putting you on the spot.
I don't know. I would love to have a game ran by a TP, because never have.
Interesting.
That would be interesting for me.
A thinking perceiver.
Somebody Ooh. Thought out ideas.
Oh, my goodness. They would have to write these down, otherwise you may never get so many possibilities.
Now, the problem is the only ESTP that we know that would actually, you know, be into gaming doesn't want to do roleplay.
Correct. Yet.
Alan, Yet. We are calling you out. Yeah. Alan.
I think he could tell a really an amazing story.
I think he could, too. I think
he would tell the story.
Exactly, and the rest of us wouldn't play it. It would be the Alan show.
He would start the story and tell it and then end it.
Yeah, and then you didn't do a thing in it.
Guys, come back in 4 more hours and we'll do another game.
He would be great at like a one-shot at Gen Con.
I totally agree. It would be
the entire story and you get it done.
I totally agree.
Out you go, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I think... And I think I addressed this question in my own head as you were answering it, Josh. Mm. I believe that an ENFJ or an ESFJ would be a very good GM if they have in front of them exactly what they're going to run.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and I've said this to you before, Josh, mm-hmm. when it comes to modules, I think you run spot on. I love playing a moduled game when you run it. Because you have that, like, I can add a little bit of flair here and there if it feels like the game's kind of dragging with your F. You don't have to think because everything's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, as I've said before, I can think outside the box, but you got to give me the box first.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, when it comes to a module, I think that you run better than just about anybody else I've played with. I think that I like Derek's running style for certain things, but I think that as we discussed on the Rationals episode, the problem is Derek answers the questions before he asks anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
For example, it is efficient, but when you're playing in a role-playing game, it's not efficient for the gamer who's
agreed.
Playing.
Agreed. I'm close to an NT, which is why I can flip.
Right.
Because my SN is very close. So I can go NT, SJ, and I can...
When I'm sitting down at a table with three other players, and we want to figure out what our connection is, even if it's just a very loose, mm-hmm. let's take a 30-minute conversation and figure out why we know each other and why we're even on this silly quest.
Right.
That's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because I'm a P.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at it like our story needs to make sense, and we all are going to come from a different angle for this story.
It's also part of your F. You want the connection. You
right.
You want to have some right. type of emotional
because
connection.
Because I feel like
people.
If I'm going to sit here and play this game for the next 4 hours, there needs to be a reason why I'm doing it.
Right.
And the emotional attachment is usually what gets it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very J statement for you, P there.
Well, you know.
When P's are passionate, when FPs are passionate about something,
yeah.
they can yeah, be very
it
firm.
It's just very funny.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I was just discussing before we started recording is for me, and I just had this discussion with Alan the other day, when it comes to a role-playing game, I don't like huge sandboxy games.
Mm.
Because I am already a P.
Right.
I'm already an N. I mm-hmm. can come up with the different possibilities that could happen within this town.
Right.
I don't need you to give me the entire world
right.
and say, what are you doing? I need you to say, this is your direction.
Right.
What you do between start and finish
mm-hmm.
is kind of up to you, mm-hmm. but we need to get to this finish.
Right. Yes.
So...
So you need a finish as a P, because if you don't have a finish, you're like,
then it,
where are we
right,
going?
That's exactly it. It's, yeah. I need a motivation to continue to move forward.
Right.
Because I can find all the linear horizontal move.
Right. You can do this.
Yeah, I can do all that. Mm-hmm. I can go to the store and I can buy all the potions that I want to buy and stuff mm-hmm. like that, but I can do all that in 5 minutes.
Right, right.
You know, so what's filling the rest of that 3 hours and 55 minutes is what's important to me, because... Not only, and this is why I think that an ENFP is maybe not. I think that probably a lot of different personalities are great GMs
mm-hmm.
for different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I think an ENFP, and maybe this is the way I should have asked the question, the reason I think an ENFP is a good GM is because they are constantly making sure that everyone at the table is having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
That. The game is moving along,
mm-hmm.
that people are attached to their characters and attached to the story,
mm-hmm.
and they're not... And this is why I said that I think Josh runs modules fantastically.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need a module.
Right.
I can sit down with a piece of paper and a pen, and we've done this before.
Yep, we have.
And we can role play on the spot
mm-hmm.
and see what happens.
Right.
And I think that that is why I feel like an ENFP is a great GM... not taking anything away from any other personality.
No.
Because I don't have to have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to know what the question is.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to know where to drive that question.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if you want, instead of going left, you want to go right, mm-hmm. okay, well, we can go into the forest instead mm-hmm. of going out into the plains.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll just figure out what happens in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you run into some fairy creatures? Cool. Let's, you know, let's right. interact with some fae and see what happens. Oh, look, they send you on the exact same quest. The elves that were out in the plains were going to send you on. But you don't know that because on the front end,
right.
you are getting the exchange that you wanted
correct.
Out of that. And, right. and I think... I think that that's what's great about a P being a GM is being able to play with those possibilities. But
mm-hmm.
again, not taking anything away from anybody else. I think Derek does a great job with GMing pretty much any game. But I think that if there's anything that our personalities need to improve on, especially Derek and Josh and I, who are kind of the principal game masters of our main group, Derek needs to leave more open doors.
Yes.
Josh needs to invent the box instead of having it set in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to have a little bit more resolution
mm-hmm.
When it comes to making sure that plot line is concise. And mm-hmm. I know that one of my biggest problems as a GM and being an F and being a P is when somebody says, you know, I didn't really have a good time with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, well, now I'm sculpting my game around this one person to make sure they have a good time. Or
mm-hmm.
we're in a town and the party decides to split into 15 different areas. And instead
right.
of me saying, no, let's bring it all in, I'm like, okay, well, where is your character going? Okay, where's your character going?
Right.
3 hours later, Carrie's asleep on the table.
Exactly. No, she's already knit half that blanket.
Right.
And then
exactly.
you're positive she's
exactly.
not paying attention. And she's probably not because... We yeah
right
mm-hmm.
so
or we're over there checking something out on Pinterest together.
I'm also an FJ, so if it doesn't suit my fancy, I'm going this way.
Right, because
right.
the
exactly.
F and the F is the J is decisive enough, and the F is spontaneous enough. They're going, don't feel like it. Going over here.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. So kind of looking at the idea of a a GM, mm-hmm. and kind of what makes a good GM within a personality. What do you feel like kind of make the stronger characters personality wise at the table?
ENTJ. I can already tell you.
ENTJ.
Trying to overtalk Michael.
Don't. Just don't.
All the introverts at the table go.
Yeah.
I haven't said anything Crochet. In like 2 hours.
Knitting.
Yeah, right.
Knitting. and it's part of it is the extroversion, because mm-hmm. an extrovert has no problem expressing themselves boldly and loudly if necessary.
Extroverted feelers. Yes, I know what you mean by ENTJ, because mm-hmm. Michael's thing is that once he starts, there's no problem continuing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes for him, he has trouble stepping and going, how am I going to say this? Because mm-hmm. he'll stop and think about it. But once he says it, it's...
Yeah, that's a TJ thing. Once we've said it,
yes, there but we go. Your EFs will just start talking and then hope something comes out.
What, you said the EFs?
Yeah, we will. Don and I, it's like we've got a character, we've got a response, so we start responding, and hopefully something intelligent comes out.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be intelligent for me.
That's the J and P element.
Yeah. I just think for something. Like the ISFJ, the you know meek and mild one over here,
mm-hmm. Nurturer.
Yeah, so it was really nice for me to play the paladin that I played.
Yeah.
Because I got in there in the middle of it and right. had to because that was right. the character.
And that's a good point. If you've got someone who's a more...
I have to push myself to be those more in the mix characters. It's yes. not what I... It's not comfortable
It's not
for
your
me.
Comfort zone, right.
Yeah.
So that might actually be a good point. If you're more of a meek, mild, sit-in-the-background personality, a better character might be someone who is more front and center. Play a fighter. Play a paladin. Play a... rogue, where you're the one who has to go up there and be checking for traps all the time, where you have to be doing those things because it forces you to be that. Whereas if you're more the extrovert,
Lewis.
What'd you say,
Dara Lewis? When, mm-hmm. when you guys with Rappanathic,
mm-hmm. She was. Oh no,
no, she was
in Derek's game. She played a gunslinger.
Yeah, right. She was a rogue.
She was the rogue in that because she was constantly going up and uh-huh. checking for traps.
Was
she was a halfling rogue about his, you know.
Spot
dead
on.
Down.
Perfect.
Spot
as it could
on.
Be. And so it was constantly, whoop, Dara, get a roll for this. And so it in a good way, I thought, forced her to keep staying involved yeah. with the game and staying alert because of that. As opposed to the big, bolder personalities, you're strong extroverts, you're strong feelers. It might not be a bad idea if you pick some more supportive roles. And remember, you're the supportive roles.
I think
your bards, maybe your rangers.
Role, more a subversive role?
Or submissive. Yes, maybe.
Less of a big personality role.
Correct. Yeah. Not saying that you can't, because by definition, if that's your personality, that's going to come through. Mm-hmm. And that's not that. If by playing a character where you have to kind of sit in the back and watch a little more, and you support spell. Here, have this. Cleric. Oh, let me be over here and healing after everybody got all bloody after that. It might be a good balance, because then... Well, your introverted fighter... See, I'm giggling because this just makes me laugh. Your introverted fighter is over here making rolls and doing all this, and your extroverted thinker, your extroverted feeler is back here, maybe throwing an occasional spell, but then when it's over, he's kind of cleaning up the mess and healing and stuff. On the one hand, it might be hard, but it might help to balance that, because otherwise, if you have your extroverted strong, they're the fighters, they're the paladins, they're the charge! Well, they're gonna... Yeah, and the introverts are gonna be like, yep, you do that, and I'll be back here. And you're never gonna... You might not hear much from them at all. And they don't feel like they're needed. That's kind of the... I'll give you the little tear jerk. When the big, bold, extroverted players are doing that, the introverted players who may be playing the bard, who may play the cleric, who may play... sometimes the rogue, depends how the rogue's played, more subverse, they kind of feel like they're not needed. Because the extroversion drives that story so much, and the Fs are just driving the story along, and that cart's going full blast, and you're like, well, you don't need me in this story at all. You guys got this. You know, I'm not going to be able to be funnier. I'm not going to be able to be louder. I'm not going to be able probably to be more creative. In my case, you guys are going to be more creative. P's, good Lord, who knows what they'll come up with? Any possibility. F's, you're spontaneous. Here you go. Let's just do it. Okay, well, then you don't really need me. It's not true. But that's the thought that goes through your head, because they're driving the story, and they know they're driving the story.
Everything you've described so far is combat.
No, not necessarily. No,
that's what you've described so far.
True. Diplomatic situations. If your extrovert has got an incredibly strong diplomacy, they're naturally extroverted and they roll 20 on diplomacy. Guess who's going to be talking for a half an hour right. with the GM?
Yeah.
and I'm over here in the corner, you may be having an amazing back and forth. Your monologue might be worthy of the presidential candidacy. However, I'm asleep.
True.
Or I'm now over in Pinterest. And because I understand you that. Don't need me to do this. You're already naturally gifted at it. You've got a role that's going to kick butt. Go for it. I'm going to go eat in the kitchen.
But there's
like one time Don was running a game for me and Bonnie.
Mm-hmm.
His wife, both introverts, both have never really like played like that star, like push the story role really at that point. Trixie was a little bit more for me, you know, dragon slayer,
dragon slayer paladin.
So and the main bad guy was dragon, so you know, but I remember him playing this role, and he's, you know, the extrovert, and he's got this big personality, and then he was playing like a lawyer type thing where I had to like reason my way out of it or something like that, and I just looked at you like, Carrie has no idea what her character would say. And yeah, and then I think that was the first game where you realized Carrie and Bonnie don't know what they're doing in role play games.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's kind of how we feel.
Well, and I think that, you know, that definitely brings up a good point, that if you, again, you know, kind of rehashing what we talked about when it comes to running, I think if you are playing a game and you're naturally that extrovert who is sitting at the table who can easily step into a leadership role, having the feeler part of you be, you know, or having that feeler side of you in your personality can kind of help coax a little bit of motivation for everybody else out. I feel like if you really pay attention to it, you know, if I'm playing, you know, a cleric who I remember playing a gnome cleric that was a cleric of Garl Glittergold in an old game. And every time I met someone new, I'd say, you know, hello, my name is this, and, you know, hey, old Garl Glittergold, have him bring you fortune or something like that. If I'm playing a big character like that, there may still be times when I kind of, you know, like lean over to Carrie and say, hey, won't you get in there and do, you know what I mean, try and lead from the sidelines. I've always had, as a gamer and in life in general, I've always had the luxury of being a big personality, but using it to take the attention away from people who are not comfortable with it. And then being able to turn around and say, you know, hey, while everybody's distracted, why don't you get in there and do that thing? You know, check that lock or open that door or you know, backstab that guy or whatever. I think that whereas someone who might have more of a or excuse me, less of an F portion of their personality can tend to be kind of the shoo-in for the big loud leader that gets distracted by his own leadership and kind of leaves people in the dust. We've all kind of had that opportunity happen to us and taken that opportunity at some time. But I think that in general, being a thinker over being a feeler can sometimes cater to being that loudmouth leader that's not really listening to anyone else. You know, versus being a feeler as a gamer and saying, okay, well, you know, I've made a lot of noise over here. It's time for somebody else to make some noise or at least find out where everybody's at because, you know, I care about what everybody's doing in the party, things like that.
Yeah.
I think probably just this conversation lends something that I think players need to know as well as game masters. We've talked about the game master, but from a player perspective, you commented on maybe your extroverted out there players should play more laid back characters that are more support like, so that the introverted characters can take those frontline situations and kind of spread the love out there, have some introverted diplomatic players as well as introverted fighters, because almost every situation calls for either combat or talking, and vice versa for the extroverts. But I think it's the responsibility of the player to, one, learn who they're sitting next to, whether it be personality or character, you need to know both, and two, figure out how you can help
the people on either side of you enjoy the game. And that applies to everyone, and that includes the introverts who don't normally recharge from the extra, you know, from the people being around.
Mm-hmm.
Know the people next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know the people next to you and they know the people next to them, ultimately you're going to get all the way around the table and everybody's going to understand each other.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to give you that opportunity to use those personalities to make it a better experience for you and the game master.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you know your game master, you can work together. These personalities are supposed to help you understand who you are as well as who others are and how they can work together. Mm-hmm. As conflicting as a personality may be, ENFJ, ISTJ, they can still come together and form something fantastic and really use those strengths to better each other.
Mm-hmm. That should ultimately be the goal of any party, any game. And I think the best games, if you think back to games that you just really loved, I think you will see that that was involved with it. At least I can think back and go, yeah, that was the case. That we really tried to, yeah, there was the support aspect that I'm good at this, you're not as good at this, but I know you're good at this. And it was a lot of that. And because you knew that well enough, and that's hard at the beginning. If anything, to me, that's the hardest part of starting a new campaign. Yeah, you're happy, you're excited to be starting, but I don't have any idea what I'm getting into, other than I've got my character. I don't know who's here at this table. And I think it would be good. I think we, myself before this, I think I didn't take that process seriously enough at the beginning of getting to know who was actually at this table and making those connections and understanding that. I know me, but if we take more time and maybe just an entire session, but with the whole party understanding this is the purpose of the session, is to get to know the characters and understand this, rather than, okay, we're just going to sit around and drink. Or it feels like, oh, this is a get-to-know session. And then after 15 minutes, we're kind of like each other, okay, what are we doing now? Actually put yourself out there, which is hard for an introvert. I say that as an introvert. It's not easy to do that. But if that is in place, then as the game progresses, you're going to get paid off in pretty big dividends later on, I think. Silence.
No, you're good.
Greets the masses.
I think that
the intuitives are processing.
Mm, okay. okay.
I think that what I want to know is maybe like a word of advice based on your own personality or something about your personality for someone who is maybe having difficulty as a gamer in a group that's going to listen to this episode and figure out what their personality type is and how it can fit with other people. Let's go around and give like one good nugget of game player advice to a struggling gamer.
This clarification for me. Is this a role play gamer or just a gamer? Gamer, like in a role playing game?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. More in a role play sense.
Okay.
Well, I will put it out there first because I am the only TJ at this table. I'm the only thinker at the table. Everyone else is F. There's an FP and two FJs. But as the only TJ, so I'm going to speak out to those of you who are the thinking persuasion, mainly thinking persuasion, would be to use your logic and use your objectivity. It can be a tremendous asset in the game to be able to think it out, break it down objectively, rationally, it's fantastic. You have to remember that that has to be tempered with remembering the feelings of the people around you. Unless you're playing in a table when everyone's a thinker and they're all like, all right, just throw it out there. You're not going to bother me. Go for it. But remember that sometimes you're going to put out a harsh reality because you're looking at it objectively, rationally, reasonably. We've got to do this. We've got to sacrifice this. We've got to do this. And that, if it comes out too much, it can come out harshly. It can make some people upset. You have to think about the feelings of others and realize that just because you don't tend to lean that way, others do. And so figuring out a way to temper what you say with the emotion, or at least try to make it a little bit nicer is how you say it. Because it can come out harsh when a thinker says something and we mean no emotion behind it. I've said things before. My husband has thought that I was upset about something. I really had no emotion behind it. That's just what I'm saying. Cause that's what I see as the reality of the situation. I'm not upset. I'm not mad. I'm not glad. That's it. Thinkers, that's how we work. That's not how feelers work. So just remember that in your game. and trying to temper that, especially if you're a game master and you're a thinker and you just say, okay, that's the way it is. No, that's the way it is, logically. Remember that a lot of your F players, that may, it may really hurt their feelings. It may offend them. It may shove them away from the game. It may leave a bad taste in their mouth. So you've got to temper that.
I would say, as of the different personality types, the different indicators that really stick out to me, the extrovert versus introvert, I think can be a big clash, because, you know, a lot of us extroverted strong personality types will want to have conversation. We want to talk about everything. We want to go through, you know, we want to go in character, go through the process and, you know, figure all this stuff out. And then sometimes that may include doing things that have nothing to do with the storyline, like having a conversation with a random barmaid, just because we, even as extroverts, have no problem having a relationship and talking out loud to someone that's not even real. It's just what we do. So as extroverts, we need to be mindful of that, that sometimes we may want to start a conversation and start this interaction with NPCs or even other PCs that introverts may not want anything to do with. So there's two sides to that. One, as extroverts, understand that sometimes they just don't want to be a part of it. They just, that's just not what they do. They back off. They prefer. But on the other aspect of that, introverts sometimes be willing to step out of the box and go, all right, let's see where he's going with this. Maybe it'll be something I'm not used to, but that doesn't mean it can't be fun.
Glitter.
Glitter.
Okay, so I guess it's my turn. I'll speak for the introverts over here. Play something like I did with my paladin outside of your comfort zone. Play something that gets you more into the, you know, face of the action. Even if you don't understand the mechanics as well as you think you should for the sensor over here, of the game and like what dice to roll and like when to, what skill and and just look at the thing and
numbers, lots of numbers.
Numbers don't bother me, but the knowing what to do when and feeling confident and sure of all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Know that we don't always either.
Right. You have a lot of people around your table who want to help you, and especially if you have a Don or a Josh at your table, they definitely want you to have a good time and enjoy playing the game, even as the introverted, you know, person at the table. So yeah, just play something that's more in the face of the action. Or has to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have more fun with the game. It may be a little bit more exhausting, but you will have more fun.
True. True.
And that actually kind of brings me to my point. I think that it's definitely a good point. If you are more of a extrovert, play something that's a little bit more subdued. If you are more of an introvert, try something that's a little bit more outside of your comfort zone. But I think probably the biggest piece of advice that I could give as a GM, as a player GM, is just like a GM, do your own pregame prep. Mm-hmm. If you are an introvert and you know you're going to be sitting at the table for 4 to 6 hours with a bunch of people that you don't live with, take your own me time early in the day, get yourself prepped and ready to go so that at hour 3.5, you're not stressing.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to ask for a break just to take a 5 to 10 minute go outside and kind of be with yourself or go into your room, excuse me, or even, I mean, as weird as it may sound, even just going to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that introspection time can help. Extroverts, don't overcrowd the room with your extrovertedness. I mean, it's true. You know, we have a tendency to play up everything just because we're in a room with other people and it's our energy level. Yeah. Our energy level is up, so we want to play up.
Mm-hmm.
Play down a little, you know. rein it in a touch.
Find out who your introverts in the room are, because right. you probably have not noticed them yet.
Right, and exactly. You probably don't know that there are introverts, because they aren't. They're over there yeah. in the corner, all quiet, and you have no idea they're there.
And GMs have a pre-campaign session.
Yeah,
have an introductory session, especially if you're a GM who plays at your local friendly game store, and maybe you have two or three reoccurring players, and mm-hmm. then like two or three new players all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Have a pre campaign prep night. Mm-hmm. Get together, talk about what your characters do, build characters if there's any questions,
yeah. or even just build like 15, 20 minutes in before the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, where, and
like. Okay, we're just going to spend this amount of time before the game
right.
talking mm-hmm. about our characters and a little bit about ourselves. Mm-hmm. And if, make sure the introverts go, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Talk about your character for like
yeah.
50 Five, minutes of that right. or whatever.
Right.
I think something else that I know that we have an issue with sometimes, because we have such a good mix of extroverts and introverts, and our introverts are people who want to be extrovert with the people that are there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is taking time
people.
What? Yeah, they're yeah, exactly. Taking time before the game, an hour or two or whatever it takes, to get all the talking bugs out.
Mm-hmm.
Because for intuitives, it can be very difficult sometimes to focus on what's going on. Because they're hearing conversations from across the table that have absolutely nothing to do with the game.
Mm-hmm.
For sensors, the same thing is true, because they hear you talking and they think that you're talking in character, and they may do something
right.
that they don't mean to do because they totally misunderstood what you were doing or why you were saying the things you were saying.
Yes.
So, just in general, have respect for the GM that's at the table. The players that are at the table that have taken time out of their day, away from their families, or spending time with their families to sit at that table and play that game with you, and just be more empathetic to each other's time. If not anything else, time. You know, time, you, it's the one thing in your life you can never get back.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm taking 4 hours, 6 hours of my time, if I'm taking 3 hours of my time to sit down and record a podcast, I want to know that when I get down to the nitty gritty and I'm sitting at that table, we're going to do what we said we were there to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I am a pretty strong perceiver. I don't make a lot of J statements. But the fact of the matter is, if you're there to do it and get it done.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have time to talk, then take that time either before or after. Or, you know what, do what John does, Debbie's brother,
mm-hmm.
in our Star Wars game. Just text each other. Because at least then it's not a distraction.
True. If you have to talk about something else.
If you have to talk about something, just text each other.
Right.
You know, get it done that's that fine. Way. Turn your thing off to vibrate so that when it goes off, you know, oh, my buddy, da-da-da. But don't let it distract you from being in the moment.
Right.
Because that's the best part about playing a role-playing game, is being in the moment.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Anyway. Yeah.
I think that's it.
I think that is it. So thank you so much for episode 116 of The Established Facts. We will be bringing you some really fun and new content. I know that after our episode 115 with Tony Schaub, he definitely wants to get together and do some more fun stuff.
And if you haven't checked out episode 21 of Pop Cultish, that was part two to our 115.
That's right. So definitely get on Pop Cultish, check out episode 21. Which was our Pop Factish part two.
That's right.
Definitely check that out. He was so much fun to hang out and play with. Don't forget, indiepopcon.com. Check out the dates for that. Get your tickets. Come and see us. We're going to have stuff that we're giving away. We're going to be taking care of the live podcast stage. Make sure you get to Indiana Comic Con. Support those guys. You know, let's get a lot of these local conventions up off the ground. There's a lot of really cool people that are coming into town to celebrate just that opportunity. So be a part of your community. Come and hang out with us. And thank you so much. And we will check you later.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Please visit us at www.theestablishedfacts.com and our Facebook page, facebook.com/theestablishedfacts. If you'd like to support us by buying some merchandise, visit cafepress.com/castingrobot.
Bonus!